International. This is Common Sense Political Correctness. On today's program, the lies that we have been told about the Earth. We are not a sphere. We are not bald. We are flat. And I have the proof. Now we all know that governments around the world lie to keep us, the citizens, ignorant. And one of the biggest lies being told in the world today is about the world being a sphere. It isn't. The world in which we live is not round. It isn't a ball. It is flat. And I have concrete proof and evidence that it is. I'm totally serious about this. It is true. When I stand on the rooftop of my 8th floor apartment building, I don't see any curvature. It's flat. I can see buildings 5 kilometers away. We are flat. There's no curvature at all. Wait a minute. I'm just joking, of course, by the way. No, I think you probably gathered what today's subject is. Flat earthers. Oh, it is astonishing as I put my hands to my face, covering my eyes, shaking it. That's why the voice will sound slightly different than just a moment ago. Yes, flat earthers. Oy, oy, oy. What can you say? Now, especially over the last maybe 5-6 years, we have started to see more of these nutcases with videos and even pages on social media making claims that the Earth is flat. It isn't round at all. In their mind, the Earth is as flat as a pancake. And some of the explanations that I have heard have got to be... I'm speechless sometimes, but one of my favorites is that, well, if you're flying in Australia, you should be flying upside down if the Earth is round. Along with that, the sun isn't as big as we have been told. It isn't as far out as we've been told. The moon is smaller than it actually is. And man didn't go to the moon. All of these kind of coming together in a stew of shite. A stew of shite. That's what I like to call it sometimes. Absolute crap. Now, how did this begin? Well, you know, it's actually quite... You think about it, right? We are 2018, and people are believing in something that at one time, actually, people did believe that the Earth was actually flat, and then if you walked too far, you would fall off the end. Now, you would think that if the Earth was actually flat, right, how come nobody actually has fallen off the end? Don't tell me there's no flat earthers out there who want to say, I'm going to prove to you that the world is flat and I'm going to continue walking until I fall off the end. But nobody has actually come up with that idea yet. Or they have, but there's always sort of like some weird excuse about why they can't do it. Now, there's so much horse manure. You see, I was actually going to say another word instead of manure, but I like the word manure. Manure, yes. There's so much horse manure around the flat earth theory. I hate using the word theory and flat earth together. But there's a lot of theory that they're using. And some of it is just, oh, you just look at them and you go, what are these people thinking? Now, one of the most common ones is that I go to a lake and I can see right clearly across to the other side of the lake, and if I use a telephoto lens, I can see clearly the other side of the lake. Yes, clearly, there's no curvature. Well, duh. Do you realize how big the Earth is? Now, of course, if you, from where I'm standing, if I just dig a hole straight all the way down through and come out the other side, actually, it isn't really far. But it is big. You're talking about the outside here. I'm wondering if a lot of it is just that these people cannot grasp at how big the universe is. In one of the episodes of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is also the book written by Douglas Adams, the book is narrating in the television and radio series that was done by Peter Jones, where he actually says, you know, the universe is huge. It is just so unimaginably huge. It just kind of goes on forever. And, I mean, it is, when you think about it like that, I mean, really, that's big. You know, that's like, if you have an ant, you put an ant on the table, and if you could talk to this ant, and you could ask the ant, how big do you think our city is? Ooh, the ant would say, oh, it is so huge, I don't know how to explain. It's just absolutely massive and huge, you see. I mean, in reality, we were just tiny, tiny, tiny little microscopic beings compared to the size of the actual universe. To an ant, or the smallest organism possible on the face of the earth, to them, we are huge. Yes, I mean, that sounds like a very silly way of putting it, but I mean, it's just vast. Now, the other thing that's interesting about flat earthers is they use pseudoscience. It may be based on actual science, but they tweak it so it actually promotes their narrative. Now, of course, this is done all the time. You see this, of course, with people of a certain political persuasion. They will only use sources that reinforce their beliefs. But the beliefs are crap anyway. So many holes in it. I mean, Swiss cheese has less holes than their beliefs. So they employ the same theory to promote their nonsense about the Earth being flat. I think a lot of it stems from this idea that either they're not living in reality, or they just cannot live in reality, and they have to come up with their own reality to be able to live. What I mean by that is that these nutcases, these fruitcakes and loonies, have to think that the world is flat, because in their small, tiny minds, it's just impossible to be a sphere. I mean, this is, when you look at conspiracies, this is basically what it is. They just cannot believe that the truth is what it is. It's like people that believe that man has been to the moon. They will say, no, it's impossible. Okay, well then if it's impossible, can you please explain to me how there is man-made objects on the moon? Well, one specific man-made object that, of course, you can, it's up there. You cannot see it from Earth, but it's unless you're using a very, very powerful telescope. But there is actually something on the moon called a reflector. Now, a reflector, for those who don't know what it is, most bicycles have it. It's a piece of plastic with all kinds of different shapes. You put light on it, it will reflect back, hence a reflector. There's one of these, of course, that was left on the moon, which they do test using laser beams to show the distance between Earth and the moon. So how did that just end up there? Huh? If you ask them that question, very often they'll say, it's a conspiracy that even the people that are shining the lasers to the moon, to that specific spot on the moon where it is, they're in on it. Oh, they're in on it. They're lying to you. There's nothing there. They're creating the software and making it look as if there's something there. But there isn't. So this is the problem when you debate flat earthers, is this, it doesn't matter what evidence you show them. It doesn't matter what evidence you show them. They will completely deny it. It's not like you can, it's not like debating a reasonable person, right? You just, they're not reasonable. They're just nuts. Now, if you go on places like YouTube, and in the search box, just put the words, the truth about. The truth about. Those three words. You will, in fact, get page after page after page after page after page after page of all kinds of conspiracy sites. Now, recently I wrote an article about this, that anytime you see the words truth and about, and whatever subject it is, you know that's going to be crap. It's going to be rubbish. Because they love using those two words. Truth about! The truth about the queen. Did you know the queen is a lizard? Like the rest of the royal family? Oh yeah, well, who said that? David Icke. Yes. I mean, always avoid those kind of things. Well, I mean, don't avoid them if you want to have a good laugh, really. It's the perfect thing, you know, to view. Now, when you look at conspiracies such as Flat Earth and other ones that have been around for a few decades now, the first one that I automatically think of would be UFOs. Yes, UFOs. Well, no, there are things that are identified flying objects. That we know. But aliens? Really? I was abducted by aliens? I saw a big creature with big boogly eyes and a bald head going, ugh, bit of it, bit of it, bit of it. I mean, it just, oh, just, you know, I don't, sometimes you don't know what to say. The funny thing, though, is if you look back, we're just going to look at the 20th century. Because anything before that is not, forget it. But anyway, we look at the 20th century. One thing I'm always sort of amazed about with the UFO sightings or aliens from outer space or I was abducted or crop circles is, okay, firstly, let's look at crop circles, right? Why is it most crop circles that you see happen in either the United States or the UK? Sometimes maybe Canada. Sometimes. They never happen in Sweden. Or Zimbabwe. Or Egypt. Or New Zealand. Or Japan. Or South Korea. Or even here in Taiwan. No, no, no. That always happens in the same places, you know. And the funny thing is, though, about crop circles. Okay, put it this way. If we, right now, at this very moment, had the technology to go to another universe or another planet and to visit another world. I mean, would you honestly just go to a place and land in the middle of nowhere and go, hello, I'm going to leave a design on the floor. that everybody can see. I say floor because maybe we miss the field. Maybe they don't have fields, right? We'll say floor. Maybe they don't have floors. Walls. Yes, they walk on walls. Who knows? We really don't know, right? I'm going to go there with a marker and leave a design on the ball or the floor or the field if they have one. No, of course not. The same with like UFO sightings and sightings of other beings. For some reason, they always happen in places like countryside, and I was in my pickup truck, and I saw a big light coming right towards me, and I couldn't believe what they did. They probed me, and I have a little microchip stuck inside me, and I know that they did medical experiments on me. Ugly. Ugh. I use that accent because very often that's the kind of person that you hear of. But you get my idea, right? I mean, honestly, if you were from another planet, would you seek out the lowest form of being that we have on this planet? Probably not. If I was an alien and I went to another world, yes, it could happen that you run across somebody who's a complete dimwit, but chances are you try to seek out somebody who's extremely intelligent. Well, apparently, none of these aliens are that intelligent if they're seeking out, golly, I'm going to go there and have a little bit of a hoedown, and I'm going to look at my aliens. Bloody idiots, you know. I mean, it's the same thing, of course, when you hear about people saying that they were abducted by aliens. Oh, they have little microchips in them, but they have no proof whatsoever. Or they go on TV and they take out a little vial of something and they go, you see, this thing that's inside this vial shows that I was taken up to a spacecraft and they did medical experiments in me because they found this in my body. But the funny thing is they always will show these things, right? But if you say to them, well, we would like to look at it and put it under a microscope to examine closely what it is, they always say no. Funny that, isn't it? But anyway, yeah, so, you know, crop circles and alien abductions. The next thing, if you look at, I'm going to put them all together because they're all nuts. But the ones that say they have seen UFOs and alien spacecraft. Well, my other question is, first, follow me here, okay? What year are we living in? Right, 2018, okay? Now, technology today is very different from what it was even 15 years ago. Things have gotten better. Cars have gotten better. Airplanes have gotten better. Computers have gotten better. Phones have gotten better. Cameras have gotten better. But for some reason, even with our modern mobile phones, with the high-resolution cameras that are on them, every single picture of a UFO looks like it was taken maybe 30 or 40 years ago. And you go, are you serious? And the thing is, you can actually create these kind of pictures. It's very easy to do. Very, very easy to do. So wait a second. We have new cameras. You say that you saw a UFO. We have high resolution. The cameras are high resolution. And yet you come up with a picture like that already. I mean, what? Oy vey. Just, oh, completely bonkers. And the funny thing, the other interesting thing is when you look at periods in time in the last century where there have been the most sightings of UFOs and alien spacecraft and alien abductions, it's usually around certain times. Now, there are videos at length about how Area 51 in the United States is really a place that has all the secrets about aliens. No, it's a testing ground for new aircraft. Why is it secret? Because they're testing top secret aircraft. But that excuse isn't just good enough for them. They really believe that they're aliens there and everything else. Now, you think about it. What better way to throw people off a trail by coming up with a rumor of aliens, because people will believe it, right? Throw them off the trail of what actually is going on. It was around that time when, of course, Hollywood was putting out B science fiction movies about aliens and everything else. Oh, really? Surprise, surprise. You know, people will start believing it. Even going back to a few years before that, 1938, with Orson Welles and his radio adaptation of The War of the Worlds, people actually believed it. And you can understand, but it's where the people actually believed it, which is interesting. Move forward ahead a few years to a television series that was big at the time and still is today. In fact, they even came back for a series of new programs, and that is The X-Files with David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson. The funny thing is, a lot of people, conspiracy people actually like that show, but they don't realize it's fiction. I have heard conspiracy people with videos on YouTube, even some on other social media platforms, saying that, you see, even X-Files was exposing the truth, but they had to make it look like a drama so nobody would catch on and nobody would get into trouble. Chris Carter and the team really... And you go, oh my God. Here's another truth for you. You know Doctor Who? Yeah, there really is a TARDIS. But they have to be very careful, because they don't want people to have that technology. I mean, this is the thing, right? These kind of sightings or these people usually come out after some type of phenomenon like The X-Files or B science fiction movies or War of the Worlds and others. But there are those of us out there that seem to be fighting an uphill battle, but enjoying it as we're going along because of these nutcases. It doesn't matter what you show them, they still won't believe you. There's a chap out there who has a YouTube channel. Goes by the name Cy Mandan. And he does something which is absolutely fantastic. And I only came across his videos by accident a couple of weeks ago. Well, I think you get the picture, right? Flat Earth Friday. And no, he's not a flat earther at all. He really exposes these people for what they are. Moronic baboons. I'm sorry I said that, because that's an insult towards baboons, actually. Morons, I think it's better. But he's absolutely wonderful, because there are some of these nut jobs that will actually make a response to a video that he does. And you just really wonder where they're getting their scientific facts from. They're basing stuff that have no facts whatsoever. They go, you see, it's proof. It's like when I began today's program and I said, I went to the top of my 8th floor building and I can see no curvature of the earth. I mean, they use that kind of nonsense. That's why I began the program the way I did. I think you have to be a little bit higher than that, right? Yeah, 10th floor, idiots. But anyway, Simon Dad does this wonderful channel, and one of his most recent installments of Flat Earth Fridays is very funny, because he talks about a flat earther who isn't just a flat earther, but has tried out other theories, other wacko theories. One of them is this thing that we don't need to eat food. We can just live off air. Well, we do need air to live. That's true. But apparently you can adjust off Earth. Off air. See, I'm even getting confused now. Yes, Earth air. We'll call it Earth air, right? Okay. And you can drink your urine. Well, if you want to be a pee-drinking, breatharian Earth flatter who's living in a completely different universe, go ahead. No, actually, don't go ahead. I think we should create an island and send these people to them. Really, I think we should. Now, let's run a little bit of how Saimandan goes after these people. It is absolutely brilliant.
Welcome, one and all, to another edition of the well-loved and ever-popular Flat Earth Friday. My name is Simon Dan, and I am delighted that you can join me. Today, we delve into the mind of allegedly Dave, or D. Murphy 25, if you want to use his official name. He has spent some considerable time looking at alternative lifestyles, including this.
Hello. So, day one of the Great Breatharian Experiment. Surprisingly, for somebody who's done a 30-day fast and forgotten to eat for 8 or 9 days, I found the first day to be very difficult, actually.
And even this.
Well, I've been drinking urine now for 6 years.
Oh, maybe someone should tell him that urine is 96% water, and it's probably better if he just drunk water. So when I saw that he had appeared on a chat show in the country of Macedonia, how the hell did that transpire, by the way? I was intrigued. So I'm going to sit here with a nice coffee and see what he's got to say.
Put an end to this topic once and for all, turn the Hubble round and show us Earth in real time, zooming in onto a place so that we can see what's happening at that place, and we know that there is something up there looking down on us from space. But they will not do it. They can't do it. It can't. It doesn't exist. It literally doesn't exist.
Sorry to disappoint you, Dave, but it does. Here, look. This is a picture from the Japanese Himawari satellite taken on November the 16th at 4:40 a.m. UTC. And this is a picture from NASA's EPIC satellite taken at almost exactly the same time on the exact same date. But let me guess, they're both fake, right? Well, let's take a closer look. Even though these photos were taken from a slightly different angle, you can clearly see that the cloud formations are identical. So either the Japanese Space Agency and NASA have the same animators, which, by the way, have the unbelievable ability to even make sure that the Earth is illuminated properly by the sun on each image, or they are both real images. Now, what's more likely?
It's all fraud. It's all fake. Pretty much everything NASA puts out is fraudulent.
I hope you're not including the infrared ear thermometer in that list. Or prosthetics, or ventricular assist devices, or landmine removal tools, or firefighting equipment, or tempur foam, or enriched baby formula, or water purification. I could go on. My point is, your blind mistrust for NASA means you don't appreciate the other things they've had a hand in creating.
Nobody has actually really gone all the way across Antarctica. Yeah. Now, there are millionaires out there who could, assemble the resources to make an expedition and completely, go across and chart Antarctica and make a name for themselves, being the first person to do that. Yeah. But nobody ever does.
I'm going to get serious now because this is one of the things that sickens me most about flat earthers. This man is Henry Worsley. He wanted to become the first person to ever cross Antarctica completely unassisted and unsupported. He was a seasoned explorer and before the trip raised £100,000 for injured servicemen and women. On the 24th of January 2016, he died just 30 miles short of making it. So when you throw away a statement like this,
Nobody has actually really gone all the way across Antarctica.
do you think that Henry's friends, family, and colleagues appreciate that? Do you think his wife and children want to be told that he died doing something that you believe is just a story? You don't have the right to clean the boots he used to make the trip, let alone comment on its believability. Let's just leave that as the disgraceful, offensive comment that it is. You should be ashamed.
If a pilot is flying around the curve of the Earth, then he should be dipping the nose down every 5 minutes. He should be dipping the nose down to stay around the curve.
We don't live on a ball 10 miles across, Dave.
But the thing that really got me interested was...
Wanted to feel inferior to the majority of the human race?
As you say, the gyroscope.
Oh, okay, right.
In a plane, there is an artificial horizon, okay, and it's based on a gyroscope. And if you spin a gyroscope on a surface, it will want to stay upright. You can twist and tilt the surface as much as you like, the gyroscope will stay upright. So if a plane has a gyroscope and it starts following the curve of the Earth, the gyroscope would stay upright, which means the artificial horizon will start to roll backwards. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't. Mm-hmm. That's absolute proof that a plane flies over a flat surface.
Dave. The Earth is big. It has a circumference of just over 40,000 kilometres. But besides all that, let's look at those gyros for a second. I once again turn to my pilot friend James, who helped me out a great deal here. Attitude instruments in airliners now are far more accurate than they used to be and derive information from a large amount of air data sources. Some light aircraft still do use the gyro instrument for attitude indication that Dave is describing here. However, they have a weight at the bottom, which means that they always have a force pulling directly down below the aircraft to give them a fixed horizon reference. That wouldn't be affected by the curvature of the Earth, as gravity always pulls in the same direction regardless of where you are around the curve. Thanks for that, James. We'll get together soon and watch some Partridge. Jurassic Park.
As you say, the globe is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's a leading astronomer in America, tells us that the Earth is not a perfect circle. It is actually an oblate spheroid. It's squashed. Mm-hmm. And wider at the equator, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
Значи по стеснет е на половите, а по широк е на екваторот.
Exactly.
I really hope he's got an earpiece in getting the translation for that. Otherwise, that's golden cringe.
So my question to him would be, why is there land at the equator?
Say what now?
Because. Water will move more readily than rock. So if the Earth is spinning, the water will be collected at the equator. I mean, if you spin a wet tennis ball, okay, you spin a wet tennis ball, the water shoots off at the equator, essentially. So all the water will be gathered around the equator. So why is there land at the equator? Doesn't make any sense.
Oh, Dave. Right, let's examine this claim. The centrifugal force acting on me right now because of the Earth's rotation is figured out as follows. Mass times velocity squared over radius. So my mass is 70 kilograms and the speed of Earth's rotation is 463.6 meters per second. If we square that and multiply it by my mass, then divide that by the radius of Earth in meters, we get a force of 2.36 newtons. Now, the gravitational force exerted on me is my mass of 70 kilograms multiplied by the Earth's mass of 5.972 times 10 to the power of 24 kilograms multiplied by the gravitational constant of 6.67 times 10 to the minus 11, and then we divide all of that by the radius of Earth squared and we get 687 newtons. 687 is a lot more than 2.36, isn't it? Interesting. So as you can see, the gravitational force is hundreds of times stronger than the centrifugal force caused by the Earth's rotation. It's why you can spin a tennis ball and the water will fly off, because if you do the calculations, at that point the centrifugal force is greater than the gravitational force.
If you watch the trajectory of the space shuttle, it doesn't go straight up. It always goes in a curve and out to sea. Yeah, and if you see
it, why is that?
Well, because it
that, is it normal to go straight up well, as fast as he can to go out of the the atmosphere?
I've been talking to a few people in sort of the scientific community, and I'll say no, straight up isn't the right way to go. You have to sort of go sort of around the curve and get speed to get into orbit.
Space isn't that far away, Dave. The objective of the space shuttle was to get in orbit as quickly as possible and use the least amount of fuel as possible. Going straight up and then doing a 90 degree turn is not the best way to do it. I mean, you wouldn't join a motorway at 70 miles an hour from a T-junction. No, you wouldn't. You would join from a slip road that angles you gently onto the motorway.
And it seems that nobody's ever on the space shuttle. And the proof of that is the Challenger disaster. I believe it's 1986, the Challenger exploded just after takeoff and killed 7 astronauts. But it turns out that 6 of the astronauts are still alive, and most of them are using their original names. You can find pictures of them. They're using the same names, and they're doing ordinary jobs now.
Anyone who's watched me for some time will know that I've addressed this before on an older video, when Sleeping Warrior made the same disrespectful comments. Here's a quick clip.
What he's probably seen is a picture like this, or a slightly different variation of it, or a YouTube video or something. Now, if Mr. Warrior had actually looked into it and done some research, not flat earth research, but proper research, he would have found out that this is all a hoax. The man on the left of this picture is the commander of Challenger, Francis Scobie. The man on the right is also Francis Scobie, who during the time of the launch was CEO and president of the Marketing Edge Inc. out of Chicago. Clearly not the same guy. I mean, they've got completely different shaped chins. What about this one? The man on the left of this picture is Challenger mission specialist Ellison Onizaka. The man on the right is his brother Claude. And this one. The lady on the left of this picture is Sharon McAuliffe, a teacher who was selected out of 11,000 applicants to be the first civilian in space. The lady on the right doesn't even look like her, and we're supposed to believe that they're the same person, despite the fact that at the time of the launch, Sharon McAuliffe on the right was working for a law firm in New York. That's just 3 examples, and it's the same for all the others. A horrible hoax that is a disgrace to the memory of the astronauts that lost their lives that day.
That's twice in 10 minutes now, Dave, that you've shit all over the memory of brave, courageous people that have lost their lives in pursuit of greatness. Believing that the Earth is flat is one thing, and rest assured, Dave, it is a silly belief. But to willfully display such a high level of ignorance and disrespect is the lowest of the low. Shame on you again. That brings this episode to a close in a disappointing and somber fashion. I do struggle to find the right words when flat earthers move from mere speculation to this sort of thing. So we'll call it a day here and leave Dave to his half pint of urine.
My morning routine is basically I would get up, wear my glass, drink most of it, leaving a little bit at the bottom, and I'd wash myself with it.
Ooh. Just remind me never to step or sit next to you on a plane. You probably don't even believe in planes, by the way. You think that maybe you walk to Macedonia. I mean, you see, this is the thing. These people, the problem is that people believe their nonsense. And when organizations, okay, maybe not Macedonia, but when they're being interviewed, let's say, by Philip Schofield and others, right, you're actually giving them credibility. You're giving them credibility. Now, when we were actually, I should mention that today's program was actually not going to be about flat earthers at all. Originally, our plan was another funny subject, religion. We'll keep that to next week. And actually, I had thought about actually inviting a flat earther on the program and just ask them some questions to see if they can back up their claims. And then somebody in our newsroom pointed out, maybe not a good idea. And I thought, yeah, you know, you're right. I didn't think about that right away. Well, I know I'd thought about it, but I kind of put it aside. And, you know, they were right. Don't give these people one single moment of airtime. Because all it does is add credibility to their shit. If it looks like shit and smells like shit, guess what? It is shit. Just as Simon Dan pointed out a moment ago, when these people make claims that the astronauts on that shuttle, which blew up, are alive and living their lives under some different names, some same names, doing different jobs, you just go, oh my God, really? I would like, you know what? I would bet you anything that people like him, not Saif Bandan, he's the nice one, the normal one, but the ghoul in that piece, the fruitcake in that piece. I bet if you said to him, look, we want you to go and meet the families of the people that were affected by that disaster. Would he go? I seriously doubt that he would. It would be interesting. Interesting to see. To see how he would respond. To see what he would say. Because if it's all a hoax, right? He would tell them, oh, he would say to their face, you're lying to me. That's what if it is a hoax, that's what he should say. But I bet you anything, if we arranged it, he would never show up. Be some excuse. Because that's what these people are like, right? They love going around making claims that are complete garbage. But if you put them in a situation where they actually have to confront it face to face, they always back down. They always back down. Now, a moment ago, we were mentioning the moon landings and how people say they're faked. There was a video that surfaced not too long ago on social media where it says Buzz Aldrin was admitting to a girl, a young girl, that they never went to space and they never went to the moon. Oh, really? People actually believe that he said that. When you read some, not all, just some of the comments that people were leaving. The thing is, though, that video is completely out of context. Simon Dan actually does a video on that, which actually is interesting because it is true. But people still won't believe it. You know, you just wonder, like, can you really reason with these people? I don't think you can. Because they have no reason. As I said earlier, unless it backs up their narrative, it doesn't matter what proof you throw at them. They're just not going to believe it. They're just not going to believe it. They just can't believe it because it goes against their narrative. So, how do we deal with it? Well, the first thing we have to stop doing is giving these people actual airtime. Discussing how fruitcake and loony these people are is one thing. But to give them a platform and put them in front of a camera or put them in front of a microphone or interview them for whatever reason. No. Yes, you could use the argument that it exposes these people for what they are, fruitcakes and loonies. Maybe like a UKIP supporter, but... or a Brexit supporter. No, I think even Brexit supporters have more reality. Except for maybe Donald Trump supporters. But that's for a whole other program. You cannot give these people anything. They have to be... Well, the first word that comes to mind is exterminate, used by the Daleks and Doctor Who. But no, we need them. You know, we need these people. For what? I don't know. I still haven't come up with a solution yet. Well, no, here's one. Maybe we should send them to a deserted island. Yeah, send them to a deserted island. And there is one island that I'm thinking about in the Bay of Bengal. Perfect place for them. They'll have a wonderful time. Idiots. Now, today's program actually has been a lot more of me babbling on than in past ones, with no music breaks at all. But I think I want to dedicate a song to these people. It is probably one of the best pop songs ever written. Well, there are many good pop songs, but this is one that I would like to dedicate to all of those who believe the Earth is flat, who believe we've never gone to outer space, who believe we've never gone to the moon, who believe that the sun is smaller than what it is, who believe the moon is smaller than what it is, who believe the sun and the moon are closer to where we live than they actually are. It needs no introduction. We can hear it fading up in the background. I think you know what it is.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. Check ignition and may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom.
Yes, an absolutely fantastic song there, David Bowie. Major Tom. Now, we still have a little bit of time before we end off today's program. A few little frequency notes. We made some frequencies from our. We made some changes to our frequencies for our transmissions to Southeast Asia from Trincomalee. We're moving to the 13 meter band, and also listeners in North America who listen to us in the 31 meter band. You can also find us at now 6 megahertz. And also 15 megahertz and 7 megahertz. I'm saying that instead of the actual frequencies because I lost the paper that was given to me this morning. And it's evening as we record this program. And the person isn't there in their office right now, but I'll give it next week. Anyway, it's easy to do. Just find, go to our Facebook page for PCJ Radio International, and you will find the information there. All right? Now, this, of course, has been common sense political correctness. So, in past programs, why the name? Why the name? Well, in past programs, we've talked about political correctness and the stupidity of it. And today, of course, was a common sense issue. You know, it's funny when you think about it, just you really have to wonder what is wrong with humanity to believe that the earth is flat. Now, if you do want a good laugh, just go to someplace like YouTube and put in the search flat earth. And you will get page after page after page after page of videos from these nutcases. I warn you beforehand, try not to watch too many of them. Because the more you watch, the more your blood will boil, as it would if you were to go up 60,000 feet without a pressurized suit. But you see, they don't even believe that. You know, there's the U-2 spy plane. And a friend of mine was fortunate enough a number of years ago to do a television program where he actually got a ride in a U-2 spacecraft. And he told me, he said there was people that actually didn't believe it. And he, you could actually go find the video on YouTube. Just look for James May. Yeah, that James May. James May, U-2 aircraft or U-2 spy plane. And he said to me that a few times he was walking and people, the flat earthers would come up to him and said, oh, that program was faked. You weren't even in a U-2 spy plane. You were in a mock-up. You were actually on ground. And it was the BBC's conspiracy to promote the idea that the world is round, that it's all fake. I have before pointed out to those who believe in flat earth saying, look, if this all is a giant conspiracy, do you know how many people it would take to pull something like this off? Not 100. It would take literally thousands. Thousands. Something like this, there would be a leak. Somebody would come forward. And then, surprise, surprise, they said, oh, you know, you have the Men in Black. And I went, oh, God, really? The Men in Black? It's a movie. Oh, but they have people like that. Yeah, they have people like that. And they go around and silence those who really try to put out the truth. Okay. If I use your logic, they're trying to silence the people that are putting out, quote-unquote, the truth. Wouldn't they be coming to you and trying to silence you? Hopefully there is. Maybe they can silence a nut job like you. I mean, this is the thing. It doesn't matter what you say or anything. They will believe all kinds of nonsense. They will come up with all kinds of really stupid excuses. Or, no, the men in black. Oh, really? Please. You had never heard of that term before until the movie came out. Men in Black. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, we are nearly out of time. Hope you enjoyed the program today. Yes, we do babble on a bit, but babbling is good. Sometimes to confront the babblers, you have to babble yourself. Using a Babel fish. Yes, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. What's next? I'm actually waiting for somebody to quote... Oh, no, there are people that have. People that have actually taken items from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams and are now saying that it's actually fact. I mean, we could do a whole other show on this, and maybe one day we will. Anyway, that's all we have time for. Thank you for joining us. Do let us know where you heard the program. And we will see you again very soon. So to end today, we're going to fly to the moon. Here's Julie London. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Please be true. And I